I don't know from out there if you guys can feel it and feel what I'm feeling up here, and my guess is Dave and Jaden feel it as well. There's a big energy in this church today. People are smiling. People are laughing. People are not worrying anymore. It's fantastic. It's fantastic to sit up here and see this. Sometimes we don't get to see that. We see frowns out there all the time because people are worried. I'm glad that we're not worrying anymore as a church. We understand what's coming, and we can be glad for it and be excited for it. Be excited to get to heaven. We have no more worries and no more sorrow. Our scripture reading today, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, is Luke 12, verse 41 to 43. Verse 41. Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing when he comes."
Happy Sabbath. You know, it seems like with the alcove closed, like everybody's closer. A little different. I like that. Maybe we'll just leave the plastic up. You know, I'm going to share with you my week. There's a reason why. And Todd and I were talking earlier, and Todd said, "I've had such a rough week, I thought I was preaching this Sabbath." No, I had the rough week, and I'm preaching this Sabbath. And you know, I went from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday mornings at 4 a.m. raking, baling, hauling hay, 500 bales, till dark in the heat. But that wasn't enough. I was moving the tractor in a hay rake. I'm going down the road, and I hear the screeching noises, and I look behind me, my rake is dragging on the pavement, my tire's rolling down the road. I go, "Oh, what is this?" But you know, there's good Samaritans, because there's a gentleman, there's several people that stopped. And there was a gentleman that stopped, went home, got a floor jack. We jacked the rake up, got it repaired enough for me to get it home. My bail wagon broke down on me. But I work for the Yavapai County Superior Court, and one of their things they have jurisdiction and court orders over is the Verde Canal in Camp Verde. It's a 20-mile long ditch that supplies water. So I get a call, because it's my responsibility to take care of it, get a call that there's a dead animal hung in a tree on the ditch. So I got to go take care of it. It turns out it was a dead person. And it was a person that worked for a friend of mine, no less. So add that to the week. And you know, life is so important, folks. And I know this, I've said this before, I know firsthand. I spent years as a volunteer fireman and an EMT on the ambulance in Camp Verde, years as a law enforcement officer, reached the position of captain over the northern half of Arizona, had lieutenants and sergeants and officers under me, so I had to deal with all their problems. And folks, I have seen a lot of death, a lot. But here's the positive part. I've been a part of being able to save lives. It's always been my prayer that God will see them in heaven. The ones that had a second chance will be in heaven. That is a positive that makes everything else all right. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about stories, or biblically known as parables. And who is the greatest storyteller? And each one of these stories and parables have such a meaning, and a meaning for us in our lives and where we're headed. The first parable I want to talk about, and please, because of the week I had, I didn't get everything written down, so bear with me. Maybe a little slow in getting everything put together. But the first parable is the parable of the farmer who sowed the seed. Now that one means a lot to me, because my entire life I've been around farming and ranching since I was born. I still farm today, so this parable has a lot of meaning. And I love stories. How many like stories? And you can remember them. And you can remember what they mean. But the parable of the farmer who sowed the seed. I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 13, verses 3-9. Then he spoke many things to them in parable, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on ground, good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Now, who is the seed that God sows? And he wants a bountiful crop. Now, the first part of it is seed that fell and was devoured by birds. You know, seed that learned of the message, but for whatever reason, environment, whatever things in their lives, whatever extra things that happen, the birds, they were just picked up and flown away. And that's a sad thought, because we want every seed to live and grow and yield. Some fell on stony ground, and I understand this very well. I understand birds eating the seed, eating the plants. The stony ground is shallow without much depth to it. Difficult for the plant to root down. Difficult for the plant to get nourishment and grow and flourish. Difficult for the seed to thrive. And then, as the sun comes up and it gets hot and the heat and it has no moisture and it has not a depth of fertile soil, it begins to wither. How many folks have gardened? How many times have you seen a plant that wasn't in fertile soil and it begins to droop and wilt and the leaves fall and the plant starts to bend over? Seen it many times. You know, folks, if you see that, because these are people who are going to be a part of our family, maybe we can transplant them. Maybe we can give them water. Maybe we can give them help. We don't have to let them perish. But if not given that, they will perish. And I know our Lord wants to save every soul. It means so much to him. That's why he gave us this story. Some of the seed fell amongst thorns. Oh, folks, weeds. Oh, I've dealt with weeds for a lifetime. I have dealt with weeds that grew as big as a small tree with roots like that. Fortunately, not all the rest are like that. But a weed has only one purpose. Only one purpose is all a weed has. And that purpose is to recreate more weeds. That's it. It has no other purpose. One weed isn't enough. 100 weeds would be even better for the weeds. It's a constant struggle and battle. Folks, we need to be sure that we keep the weeds out of our lives and out of our garden and out of our church. We need fertile soil for our seeds to grow. Now, let me mention seeds, because I know that seeds can lay in the soil for even years. Weed seed can even lay in the soil. just have a nice year. I don't have any weeds. Crops are looking great. And let it rain. All of a sudden, there's weeds out there like this. Because they were laying there waiting for a perfect environment to start growing and start having more weeds. And the battle's on. So some of the seed fell amongst the thorns. They were choked. Choked by life's problems. Choked by life's activities. Doubt. Whatever it is that causes them to be choked out. But some of the seed fell on fertile ground, folks. Some of it on fertile ground yielded 100%, 60%, 30%. It's our morning song, bringing in the sheaves. Guess what is a fertile soil, folks? God's church. This church is a fertile soil. We're here to nurture the seed. We're here to give them life. Who provides the rain and the sunshine for them? Our Savior. Our part is to be the fertile soil and to bring these people into fruition. Hopefully I said that correctly. It is so important. That's why God gave us this parable, folks. Because of all the things, we want seed and fertile soil. And that's our part. That's our church's part. We're the fertile soil, folks. Are we not? How important is that? How important is the parable of God? And it means a lot to me because I've dealt with it in life as a farmer. I know God has a lot more to teach me as an Adventist. So please, that is an awesome parable. But I have more this morning. In Luke 15, verses 11 to 32, I said, please bear with me this morning. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. How many people recognize this parable? Parable of the prodigal son. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land and began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Before I go on, you know, there's times that people want and believe that they can find something better. So they say, you know, I'm going to go out. I'm going to find something better. Is there something better, folks? Is there something better? There isn't. There is not. I hope that's understood. But the parable, the story, the son found out. He squandered all of his money. He squandered all of his goods. There was a famine in the land. He couldn't find work. He had no money. So he had to go to a gentleman who put him to work feeding the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Do we find out that directions that we have gone at times aren't as good as where we were at? It does happen. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Folks, who is our Father? And he rose and came to his Father. But when he was still a great way off, his Father saw him. Does God know where we're at? Does God care where we're at? Good times, not so good times, in the worst of times, in the best of times. God knows right where we're at. How important is that? Saw him and had compassion. Do we have a compassionate Father? Oh, I tell you, we do. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Again he was lost and is found, and again to be merry. Is there rejoicing over every soul brought back? Everybody that remembers where they should be? And sometimes we have to try, folks. Sometimes we have to go. Is there rejoicing over one soul? Absolutely. This is a story. And not only did he love him, but he gave him a robe, the fatted calf. He did everything for him. Now, the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Now, should the brother have been rejoicing over his brother's return? The brother still had all the inheritance. The brother still had everything that he had known and been raised with, and still the father's son. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said, no. And said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat, but I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots and killed the fatted calf for him, and you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Did the son have cause to be angry? He should have been rejoicing. Folks, we should rejoice over every soul that returns to our Father and our Savior. Every soul. Not angry, but we should be there marrying and being with them and welcome them home. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We should rejoice over every soul. Our Savior does. All of heaven rejoices over one soul, one son. How wonderful is that? How much is each one of us loved? Folks, we can't even know. But be assured, have no doubt, that our Savior, our Father, our Holy Ghost, our guardian angels love us very, very much. Luke 14, verses 15 to 24. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. called the parable of the great banquet. And sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." I just don't understand anybody not wanting to sit down to supper with our Lord. But there's an excuse. Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." And still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. Is the kingdom of heaven for everyone?" Absolutely. Never have a doubt that you're not a part of God's kingdom. And we need to encourage others that we have a Savior for everyone, that everyone is loved by our Savior. And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room." Is there room in heaven for everyone? Absolutely. Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." Are we part of God's servants to give others a message, to fill the house, to fill for supper, to be with our Lord? "For I say unto you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper." You know, it's a sadness that there are those who are going to miss the supper because they have some excuse. There is no excuse. Not when the Savior that we serve loves us as he does. There's not an excuse. Another parable. I got a few more this morning, folks. Because the stories have such meaning, do they not? Parable of the Good Samaritan. Please bear with me this morning. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Is this kind of powerful, is it not? Don't we want eternal life? And here's the question, what should I do for eternal life? He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Is that not true? That's what it takes. And he said to him, "You have answered rightly." He answered rightly. "Do this and you will live." There's the answer, folks. Not just live, but live eternally. How precious is that? But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then answered Jesus and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." That's not even fathomable to me. Yet, that was how much he was concerned for the person that had been wounded. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived all at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Oh, he looked and then passed by on the other side. He didn't just pass by, he looked. Did he help the gentleman that was wounded? Now, by chance, a certain Samaritan, now remember, the Samaritan and the Jews were not compatible people in most instances. The Jews looked upon themselves as much better than a Samaritan. So this is the crux of the story, the parable. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Didn't walk by, didn't take a look, and then walk away, but had compassion. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So here's the question, folks, to answer. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Which one, folks? Absolutely. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, the lawyer, go and do likewise. Amen. So was God giving us an instruction on how to be neighbors, how to love our fellow people, even so sometimes they're not too lovable? The next parable, I'll try to move along here, folks. The next parable is a parable, well, let me read, and then you tell me which parable I'm starting out on. How about we do it that way? Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Recognize this parable? Who took with them lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom, folks? Our Savior. Now the 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. I pray I'll be wise, folks. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Who's the oil? Holy Spirit, thank you. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Is our Savior delayed at the moment? Is it time to slumber and sleep? Absolutely not. When I'm done with this parable, it'll even enlighten us more. So please, I have a wake up. Don't slumber. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Our Savior is coming, is he not, folks? It's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when he comes. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Now, folks, pretty easy to understand this parable, is it not? Be ready and waiting. Because when the Lord comes, the door will be shut. The last parable this morning I want to share with you. I've got to turn my page. It's found in Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. Thank you for bearing with me this morning. Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. So he spoke this parable then, saying, What man of your, leaving a hundred sheep, what man of you having a hundred sheep, if he loves one, loses one, I'm sorry, folks, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Are we important to our Savior? One, just one soul, our Savior cares, not the 99, because they are saved. They're in the fold. Praise the Lord for that. But one sheep wanders off, and sheep, poor sheep. I've been my whole life around livestock. And it's interesting, but remember that the lamb is our Savior, led to slaughter. The sheep are used so much in the Bible. This parable uses sheep, because poor sheep can get lost. A horse can find his way home. A dog, most animals, but poor sheep. You know, they occupy the ground they stand on. And that's kind of where they're at. But what wonderful creatures they are. But they can easily get lost. It's interesting that we're compared to sheep. One sheep lost. Does our Savior care, folks? Does it not say that right here in this parable? That he went out, not only did he go out, but you need to know the rest of the story. Our Savior didn't just walk out and walk down and get in the taxi and ride down and say, oh, the sheep's over there and I'll just go save it right there, and that's easy. It wasn't that way. Remember, folks, our Savior left heaven, came to this earth, gave of his life, and spilled blood to save us. That was a route to find the sheep. It wasn't just, I just go over there and done. Our Savior loves us enough to have gone through all this to save one soul, one sheep. Are you fully understanding what I'm trying to say? How much we are loved, how important we are. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Rejoicing over one soul, folks. How many millions of souls are there? And yet, one soul he rejoices over, every soul that's saved. And I go back to the parable of the seed and the sowing. Every soul is important. We need to have fertile soil for our seed. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Does that mean us, folks? If we know of a soul that's been found, should we not rejoice with our Savior? Should we not do everything we can to encourage that person? It's our responsibility. This, folks, is our fertile soil. This is where the crop and the seed can grow. And I say to you likewise, there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Does that not mean the 99 are important? But they don't need repentance. Our Savior is willing to look for the one soul. How important is that? You know, the Bible contains many stories, or biblically known as parables. I challenge you to look some of them up. You know, stories are something that we can remember more readily. Parables are something that seem to just, I don't know, draw our interest. And there's many parables, and each one in the Bible has such a meaning for it, for each of us. In ending this morning, I want to read a couple of Bible texts. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and all manifest myself to him, and will manifest myself to him. You understand the connection? Keep God's commandments. If you love the Father, and our Lord will manifest himself to us. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Folks, eternal life is before us. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I've read this before. Does it sound familiar? How important it is. And again, since I've read this once before, I'll reiterate, it says you. It's personal. It doesn't say John Blue or Dave Hilbers. It says, I go to prepare a place for you. You're accepted. You're in. You're done. Accept it, folks. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Has he gone to prepare a place? Will he come again? Right there's the promise. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It is my prayer in these parables and stories that each and every one of us will be in heaven together with our Savior. May you be blessed.
Stand with me when the roll is called up yonder.
Called up yonder.
Please bow your heads. Dear Father, I want to thank you this morning for the awesome and merciful, loving, gracious Father, Savior, and Holy Spirit that you are. Each and every one of us, dear Father, is in need of you. I pray not only for our church family, but for myself, dear Father. Please guide and direct in each life and in the week to come. And when you return, dear Father, help us to be awake and waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.